So we have the dreams of Yosef, and Ramban notices a few delicate points in the text that might otherwise avoid detection. The Torah says Yosef had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they continued even more to hate him. And the Torah says, records how he told them the dream. And he tells them the dream about the sheaves of wheat. Then his brothers responded with their skepticism, and they continued to hate him, or they hated him even more. Then it says he had another dream, and he told his brothers, and this is the dream with the sun and the moon and the stars. Then it says, "Vayisaper el aviv el achav." He told his father and his brothers. So that means he told his brothers the second dream twice. So why does he do that twice? What does that mean? And his father rebukes him, "Vayigabo aviv." His father says, "What is this dream? Are we going to? You think that I and your mother and your brothers are going to come to bow down? Especially as Rashi says, your mother's dead. So how could that be?" So the Ramban is bothered by a number of questions. First of all, of the two dreams, he only tells his father the second one. He never tells his father the first one, right? It's only the second one. Secondly, that he tells his brothers twice. And also, why does his father rebuke him, and what is the rebuke exactly? So the Ramban says that Yosef doesn't tell his father the first dream because Yosef himself wasn't sure what it meant. He has a bunch of sheaves of wheat. They're doing some bowing down. He's not sure, and you know, so they belong to different people. Some belong to him. But it's only the second dream where he's got the sun and the moon and the stars. There he knows the sun is going to be Yaakov. That's clear to him. And therefore, says the Ramban, at this point he goes and tells his father because he understands what the Kisran of the dream is going to be. And as far as telling his brothers twice the second dream, where the Torah says he told his brothers and he told his father and his brothers, so Ramban says, very similar to Rashi, that he told his father in front of his brothers. So the second time he's not telling his brothers again, but he, in their presence, is telling his father, which of course only serves to exacerbate the sinah that they have, the hatred that they have for him. And the Ga'ara, the rebuke, Ramban says the rebuke that Yaakov provides, very interesting. Either Ramban says either it was entirely fabricated in order to reduce the anger that the brothers would have against him, as Yaakov wanted them to think that he did discredited the dream. Or, says Ramban, Yaakov actually was rebuking Yosef, assuming that if Yosef is having such dreams, that means that he's harboring such thoughts. A person doesn't dream like that unless he has thoughts of arrogance. And therefore, says the Ramban, Yaakov was authentically rebuking him for that kind of a thing. Now, it's possible that even there, part of it was aimed at Yosef, that Yosef should receive this rebuke, but it's also possible that even in that version, Yaakov Avinu is helping the brothers feel that the dream is discredited. Very interesting that the Ramban does not address the following point, just want to mention it to you. That Yosef later on is called upon to interpret a dream of Paro, and Paro's dream happens in carbon copy, and Yosef, in interpreting the dream, says Va'al Hishanos Hachalom Pa'amayim, and the fact that the dream is twice, it's an indication that it's going to happen fast. Because Baruch is going to make this thing happen really, really quickly. It's interesting here. I don't see anywhere that they address the issue of the double. What's the double dream? And those both dreams seem to mean the same thing. Only the second one is obvious, but once the second one comes, we know what the first one was. No one addresses why Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him two different dreams. Just want to mention that. I'm going to move to another Ramban. This is a Yesodistic of Ramban. Ramban who deals with the question of Yibum. And we'll just summarize it. And even after we summarize it, we won't fully understand it, because the Ramban says these words. The Ramban says, "V'nikaru la'enei royim, asher nosen la'mashem einayim." It's obvious to anybody who sees, to whom God gave eyes to see, va'oznayim l'shmo, and ears to hear. What he means by that is people who understand Kabbalah. So, therefore, since we don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's not going to be obvious to us. But the Ramban deals with the question of Yibum. The question specifically, as it arises in the text, is that it says Vayeda Onan. Okay, first let's get the story straight, right? So we have Er who dies, and then Onan doesn't want to take his sister-in-law for Yibum, for levirate marriage, doesn't want to fulfill the custom, there wasn't any halacha, but the custom of maintaining a name for his brother. It says, Vayeda Onan ki lo lo yehi hazara. Onan knew that he would not have the children. And therefore, he makes sure not to have any children with Tamar. So the question is, what's going on over here? So Rashi says that Onan knew that Haben Yikarei Al Shem HaMeis, that the son will be called by the name of the deceased. And Rashi is basing his comments on the Gemara in Yevamos that says that the deceased actually carries the name, the child carries the name of the deceased brother. To which the Ramban says, well, what are you talking about? With the classic, most public Yibum in the history of the universe is Boaz with Rus. And the name of the son is not at all Machlon, who would have been the one for whom they're doing Yibum. Right? So what do you mean that you're going to call the child after the other? So the Mefarshim explain Rashi, by the way. They say that Rashi understands that there's a difference between before the giving of the Torah and after the giving of the Torah. Before the giving of the Torah, they indeed did bestow the name of the deceased upon the newly born son from this mitzvah of Yibum. And afterwards, which is when Rus already occurs, Rus and Boaz are after Matan Torah, they didn't give the name. But the Ramban goes on and says that this obvious thing that anybody who has eyes and anybody who has ears understands is a concept of the neshama of the deceased comes back in the form, in the being of the child. That's what Edan Onan knew. So therefore, Ramban points this out through a diuk. It says, "Vayeda Onan ki lo lo yezra." Onan knew that his son wouldn't be his, meaning that it wouldn't be his neshama. It says Ramban, if it was just a question of Onan worried about something, it would be Vayomer Onan. Onan said, oh no, you know, I'm not going to have, this child is not going to be after me. But Vayeda means a very profound awareness. So it says Ramban, that means that Onan had this understanding of this Gilgul Neshamas, that the Neshama of the departed who died without a son will come back in the form of the child from the Yibum. And that's what Onan didn't want. He didn't want. Why not? So the Mefarshim say that Gilgul Neshamas is not really a good thing. You know, if you have a choice, don't take it. But you don't have a choice. Vilna Gaon and others in Sefer Yonah explained that sometimes a neshama is condemned to come back. It's not a very pleasant thing. And neshama doesn't want to come down the first time. Certainly doesn't want to come down after the first time. And Ona didn't want that his child's neshama should suffer so much because there's tremendous yisurim for Gilgul neshama. So, there are in history recorded figures who are actually were known to be capable of gazing at a person and knowing who has his own neshama and who is harboring the neshama of some Gilgul that had to come back. At any rate, the Ramban says that's what's going on over here. This idea of Yibum is not like just a way of continuing the line of the deceased as much as it is. This is the way it works. So the closest relative, even before Matan Torah, they were aware of this whole, we'll call it Kabbalistic, which is just our word for the realms that we don't understand. It doesn't really mean Kabbalah. But they were aware of this whole traveling of the neshama and how it works, and that's why they would do that even beforehand. And this is what Onan didn't want to have happen, and therefore Onan desists, and he's therefore punished. And Yehuda follows that. So that's the Ramban. So what's significant about this Ramban, besides the interpretation of the pasuk itself, is that the Ramban here establishes for us, at least according to the Ramban, you have in the Torah itself some indication of this concept of Gilgul Neshamas, which is otherwise you're not going to find that in Chumash anywhere, as far as I know. But the Ramban comment over here helps us understand that at least in his understanding of the Torah, there is a biblical source for the precedent that Neshamas actually do come back in certain cases, not in all cases. And you and I have no idea and we have big enough problems just dealing with the life that we have, much less with any previous existence. Yes?
Onan thought he was doing a chesed.
Onan?
Yeah, by not bringing the skill back. He thought he was doing a chesed.
In some distorted, obviously the Torah considered it wrong, he's punished. But in some distorted way of thinking, he actually did not want that his son should have those Yisurim, so he went. So he was playing a little bit with God here, right? Which is always, a real good Avera is somebody who actually knows what he's doing, and is doing it with a real chesed. It's not just Sama, a Baal Taiva, somebody who just succumbed because he was weak. He actually had thought process.